Welcome to Epiphany Fellowship's podcast, where our goal is to see people everywhere show off the glory of Christ in every area of life. We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by today's message and will allow the Word of God to dwell in you richly.
I feel like after a song like that, somebody like need to be speaking Swahili or something. I feel like saying, Zamborite se pepoya. I need to be able to say something, you know. Amen, amen. I love our festive atmosphere we have. You're glad to be here today. God is great. No one is like him. How many of you agree with that? Oh, y'all got to do better than that. How many know that there's no one like your God? Amen, 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 amen. I was at an event yesterday. I was laughing because the preacher got up. I think it was yesterday. He said, you're not supposed to start the clock until I take my text. I was laughing because they always start the clock as soon as I walk up here. I'm like, what y'all got that clock running for? But so I just think it's funny. I am great, and God has been great, and this has been a great time of solemn assembly. How many of y'all have been thankful for God revealing some stuff to you and dealing with you during this time? It was great because last year, it was interesting as we extended it to 21 days, and that's the first time in the history of the church that people was like, I felt like we need to keep that going. We need to make it longer. You know, I felt like the first week I'm just getting started with the Lord. And so we extended it, and we continue to extend it, and hopefully it will become a part of the legacy of us seeking God. Here, you can't hurt yourself seeking God's face. It don't hurt to shut some stuff off. And I know we're not being legalistic. I know some of us jump on social media, or kids watch a show or something like that. But for the most part, you know, whether you know, if you got eating issues, I mean, you know, health issues where you have to fast other things, or you swapping out things, it's the main part of fasting, again, is giving up a legitimate need or desire of the body for a greater need of the spirit. That's the key. And it's funny, as that happened, I don't know what it is about fasting, but how many of you just hear different when you shut some stuff off? And this stuff happens, and then you realize that there's a treasure trove of God's voice that's been after you, that's been there. And you're like, I wish I would have sought him more quickly and more expeditiously. But what's good about him, we don't have to play catch up with God because he takes good care of us. Amen? Amen. Well, we're still in our series, Barrier Breakers. Turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua the 7th chapter, we'll read Joshua chapter 7 verses 1 through 6, then verses 10 through 12, and chapter 8 verses 1 and 2. Joshua chapter 7 verses 1 through 6, verse 10 through 12, and chapter 8 verse 1 and 2. 1, 2, 3, read.
Told them, the Lord has got the land, so
Amen. Today, in our series, Barrier Breakers. Today, the barrier breaker that we will discuss is pruning. Pruning. Let's go before the Lord. Father God, the excavator of our souls. Lord, will you nurture and carry us through the hard things that we need to deal with. Lord God, help us to face it with knowing that we can do it courageously and that we can do it with your Spirit's power and that we can do it with the reality of promised forgiveness. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, our strength and our Redeemer, in whom we trust. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody agree with that said? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Pruning. You know that this series that we are in, is a series about tools that God has put in our hands to break different barriers that are in our lives. I'm not a gardener, but we had weed, or I don't know what to call it, plant growing in our backyard. And it just began to take over everything. And it's English ivy. I don't know what in the world with English ivy. I mean, I know English ivy in England and stuff like that, they use it to put on the sides of Tudor manors and colonial homes as a part of the beautification of the home. However, for me, it was a nuisance. And the reason why it was a nuisance is because not only was it growing and spreading, but it was killing everything around it. And so I found out, as I began to study English ivy, I began to learn that English ivy is what's called an invasive species. And an invasive species is anything that can come into an environment and destroy what's in that natural habitat without any natural predators or anything to be a barrier to it spreading itself with uninhibited growth and destruction. And so if you ever see English ivy, if you don't deal with English ivy, it's a wrap. So I began looking at English ivy and studying it. You know, I'm a little nerd. So I started looking up stuff and I found out that English ivy will dig itself into the ground and will wrap itself around the roots of what's naturally there. And what it will do is it will begin to choke out what's naturally there, kill it, and make its way for its own space to spread its own vines, to spread its own roots. And what's interesting, if you leave it untapped, it'll just grow. Now, what's crazy about English ivy is not only will English ivy go on the ground, but it'll go up your walls. So I got an old house that's going to turn 100 next year, you know, and I got stucco on it, stucco. And so what happens is I found out, they said specifically if you have stucco. I'm like, golly. It will climb stucco and it will suction cup itself into it. I mean, literally a plant that puts suction cups in. And it says, and if you don't get rid of it, it will begin to pull down your stucco and destroy everything around it. That's one invasive species. Another invasive species we've seen is the lanternfly. I don't know if them things get on my nerves. I don't know why. It's kind of like because they got the red part, they're beautiful, but something about them make them just nasty looking. And I know the Lord created them, so I'm not dogging them, but I don't like them. I don't know if you ever seen them on a tree, just all of them, just there. And reason why they're able to thrive here is because they have no natural predator. In other words, they came over here out of another environment, and now they're massacring our ecosystem. Y'all know I'm from D.C., and we had, in the 80s, all the drug dealers used to have fish tanks. You know, I don't know y'all know about the 80s, dude. They have Fila sweatsuits with Filas on, a beeper, a knot in their pocket. If you know what a knot is, that's a lot of money, and a fish tank. So one of my drug dealer friends said, E, you got to come over to the crib. So I go over to his crib, and he has a fish tank.
He has fish tanks all in his room. He has a piranhas. I'm like, bro, where you get piranhas? This is the 80s. He has piranhas, he has Oscars, and he has snake heads. I'd never seen a snake head before. Now, he's feeding them, and we all like, wow, you know, he's a little older than us. But the last one was an interesting one, the snake head. The snake head, somebody put them in the Potomac River. Now, if you know anything about snake heads, they don't have any natural predator. They can grow massively, and they just eat everything, and they swallow up whole ecosystems and destroy, listen again, what's naturally supposed to be there, and they begin to massacre and destroy the environment to where the environment goes down because they have gone unchecked. That's what sin does in your life. Sin is an invasive species. And it comes to the natural environment of all people, but it also comes to the natural environment of the believer. And when it comes into your life, if your predatory senses don't check in to put a check on what it is, what will happen is an invasive species can only become an invasive species if it's allowed to continue to invade. And so I wonder in the room, how many of our ecological environments in our soul, how many ecological environments at our home, how many ecological environments in our relationship have been decimated by the invasiveness of sin in our lives? And I wonder, has our predator drive, because listen to me, God, when he saved you, gave you the cross as your mechanism to stop sin from being invasive in your life. But the problem with many of us is we don't see sin as an invasive species. We see it as a buddy to be kept around. And when it begins to become a buddy that can be kept around, you don't begin to agree with God that sin is an issue. And so we live in an environment where everybody does right in their own eyes. In other words, the way I feel about it is what truth is. Truth is what I feel, not what God calls real. That's what it is. And so as we move forward, family, I want to challenge you. I want you to don't get depressed because I'm talking about sin. I know pastor's not supposed to talk about sin. He's just supposed to get you high. He's supposed to get out of here in the name of Jesus. And then he gets on the organ and you get high and wild and you wave your hands. But you can do all that and leave the same. And so what I want to do is I got to preach the whole council. Somebody say the whole council. And so I'm going to get us back up, but we got to be broken down before we can be built back up. And so we come to a passage. It's a passage of destiny. I mean, it's a passage of destiny. It's a passage of purpose. It's a passage of freedom. They just got out of bondage. They just got out of bondage, and they've been in 40 years, and now God gives them the opportunity to start having victories in their life. And whenever, be careful when God gives you victories, because usually when you get a victory, you let your guard down. And so Joshua has been anointed as the new Mosaic prophetic patriarchal leader for Israel. And as he begins to lead the people of God, he begins to work out what God has called them to do. So they go to Jericho, and like the song says, they went around, and when they began to worship, the walls came tumbling down. So they had a victory. However, Joshua was excited off that victory. And so when they was excited off that victory, something happened that confused Joshua. First point, God will restrict your journey. Let me break this down. The Israelites, however, were unfaithful regarding the things set apart for destruction. Achan, son of Camri, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of what was set apart, and the Lord's anger burned against Israel. That's funny. Achan did it, but Israel got the credit. It's funny, the Bible didn't say God's anger burned against Achan, but God's anger burned against Israel. Now, this is very, very important. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 16, God told them when they went there, he says, but keep yourselves from the things set apart, or you will be set apart for destruction. If you take any of those things, you will set apart the camp of Israel. So he gave a corporate edict, even if the sin was individual. In our life, our sinful actions and decisions don't just affect us. It could affect other people. Oh, I'm by myself. I thought the first service was quiet on me. Some of you in counseling right now for some of you ain't due. Some of you trying to get some help because of the environment that you're in, because the sin of the environment that you were in has absolutely affected. See, we're so individualistic in America that we don't realize the corporate effects of sin. Oh, listen, Adam and Eve sinned, but all of us got a sin nature. We wasn't the one sinned, but we got a sin nature from them jokers. I know everybody going to look at Eve in heaven, and she's going to be like this. She said, all y'all look at me like that when y'all come to heaven. I'm forgiven, so are you. You know, that's what she's going to say, right? That's what she's going to say. Didn't Jesus make it all right? Worship him, he right there. You understand? That's what she's going to do, right? You understand? But their corporate effects to sin. One actress, her mom was an actress, and she put her in an environment where she started doing drugs with her mom at 12 years old. And as she began to grow, she experienced deep effects of the environment that her mom allowed her to be in. And it took her years and her family to even get over what she was dealing with. And so what many times happens in our lives is God wants us to deal with several things. He wants us to deal with sin. That's a specific breakage of God's law. He wants us to deal with encumbrances, things that hold us back in our walk. And he wants us to deal also, thirdly, with unauthorized cargo. Let me say that again. He wants us to deal with sin, encumbrances, and unauthorized cargo. There's some stuff that you're trying to take with you that God says ain't for the next season in your life. And because it's not for the next season in your life, matter of fact, it ain't for the season you in, God is saying it's unauthorized. Y'all looking at me funny? Let me see if I can make it plain. So when you go to the airport, there are 35,000 signs that tells you what you can pack in your bag and get through security check and what you can't. Now, what's bewildering to me is no matter how many signs you put up that says no guns, no knives, no weapons, no aerosol cans, no lithium batteries, no bottles above this size, Joker's got smoothies, white Hennessy. He said, Pastor, what do you know about white, the white white? The white white. All right, church, come back. So some of y'all going like this already. Going like that. No matter what you tell somebody, they're going to come through. And then when they stop the thing, you're like, oh, bro. And then they take your stuff and say, I gotta go. You knew you had a destiny before you put that cargo on board. But you're willing to risk missing the timing of your travel in order to bring along unauthorized things in your luggage. And but what's funny about the airport is when they bring it over, they take it, they open the bag, and then some people act like they ain't know it was in there.
Oh, I don't know where. I don't know. I don't know where this came from. Oh, my. I would have never done this if I'd have known.
They said it's 55 signs, sir. But what's interesting, what I like about them, Pastor Mark, this is what I like about them. They make you throw it away. They say, you put it in there, here, you throw it away. In other words, all of us have to be careful of carrying along stuff that holds back the momentum of God's purpose and God's calling and God's will and God's commitment to us. Because let me tell y'all something, and this is something I have to constantly learn in my life as I get older, is that God's resistance is a grace. Listen, I thought God stopping me was him not liking me. But God making you stop to deal with your stuff, because he could have just destroyed you. He could have just stopped everything. But he's gracious enough to do a security check on you. And when he does a security check on you, fam, all he's trying to do is make sure you don't, and listen, usually he only does something mild. How do I know? Look at the text. The text says that when they went up, he said, so about 3,000 men went up there, verse 4, but they fled from men of Ai, and the men of Ai struck down 36 men. 36. Now, if y'all know how God be punishing, I split a verb, he be punishing. It'll say 22,000 fell that day. So God, 36 is lives are still important, but it's almost like I'm gonna take three people for every tribe of Israel. To let y'all know not to do this. Listen, I know God spanks you. But that was a spanking, not a whooping. There's a difference. And some of y'all right now got your hand popped by Jesus. And that's all it is. Because and what it is, is to pause you. And it's an act of grace because he wants you to deal with what you're going through. Because I've had seasons of bondage and sin that God would place a pause button just to get my attention. Why? He's trying to get my attention so that I can make some adjustments. But many of us are too silly and simpletons and attached to our sin that we don't let the Savior do what he's called to do, save us. Him stopping you, him pausing you, and him not letting the season go on is love, not hate. Because he wants you to make some adjustments. One of the boxers that... In the 90s, that I liked a lot, I just liked to watch him box, was Lennox Lewis. Lennox Lewis was a great boxer, great, great puncher. I mean, he just was the total package as a big guy. Had a little bit of movement, wasn't quite Tyson Fury in his movement, but he was good. And one day, he was popping Haseem Rahman. Pop! He was hitting him with that pop. Boom! Hitting him with that. Wow! He was hitting him real nice, you know? And then he got arrogant, and so he started going all like this, you know, doing all like that. And Haseem like, all right, keep your chin out there and keep your hands down if you want to. And then Haseem timed it, bloosh, hit Money in the head. Money went night-night ministry, right? couldn't do nothing. But what was interesting is that it seemed to say, you know what happened, right? Yeah, well, you going to keep your hands up this time? You going to act like you're actually in a fight? You won't fight your opponent arrogantly anymore. What you're gonna have to do is, I know you can beat him because you already got the victory through how things work. But what you have to do is you have to fight the fight and take your enemy seriously. And he said, I won't take my enemy not seriously again. And he got in the fight and he kept his jab on him, tucked his chin, kept his jab on him. He did a 1-2, boom, he hit him with a hook, drop Haseem Rahman out clean. What am I trying to say? God calls you to make defensive
and offensive adjustments in your life. What adjustments is God calling you to make? Some of you got to make some relational adjustments. Some of you got to make some family adjustments. Because there's some stuff in your, somebody got to make some financial adjustments in your life. And those adjustments will help you as you utilize it as a constant tool as you move forward to the glory of God through Jesus Christ. Next point, God will reveal the issue. God will reveal the issue. So when they lost the battle in verse 6, it says, and Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord to evening. So he goes praying. He said, oh, Lord God, why did we ever, you ever bring us across the Jordan to hand us over to the Amorites for our destruction? If only we had been content to remain on the other side. Now, what I like about God is our God is a no-nonsense God. But what I like about it, though, is Joshua did pause. Joshua did pause, and he was willing to hear the truth. The first step to purging is you got to be willing to hear the truth. If you're not willing to hear the truth, you can't change and you can't grow and you can't develop and you can't be new. In other words, he could sense the barrier because his movement was restricted. You know there's a barrier on your journey when you're trying to move forward in something and there seems to be constant closed doors. That's a sign that you need to deal with it. Now, what I like about the Lord is the Lord is a no-nonsense God. In verse 10, after he finished praying, he let him talk and run his mouth. He said, boy, if you don't stand up, look at verse 10, stand up. That's how the Lord talked to you. Why have you fallen? Why are you all foaming at the mouth? He said, you fell out on face down. He said, Israel has sinned. Sin is in the camp. They have violated my covenant. In other words, God had already given him a word in chapter 6, verse 18 of what would happen if they didn't do it. Know what our problem is sometimes? We know what the issue is, but we act like we don't know. And so we try to pray around it, thinking that God won't deal with us in that particular thing. But God is like, nah, bro, you gonna deal with it. You can't wish it away. You can't pray it away. You can't talk it away. You understand? Some of y'all know, you know, because some of us are just, we as Christians, when you know you're forgiven, you have a bad relationship with grace sometimes. A bad relationship with grace says, I'm forgiven, therefore I can do what I want. But the Bible says, should we sin that grace may increase? May it never be. And so some of us, you know, you're a Christian, but you be smoking weed. The church is quiet. You trying to get a prescription for nothing you're dealing with. Some more cataracts running my family, so I want to get ahead of the equation, so I can get ahead of it. Y'all know we crazy, y'all. We will make a reason. We want to get ahead of it. And some of us, our issue that we're wrestling through, that we've been praying about forever, we've been dealing with porn and self-relief, men and women. Don't be thinking I'm just talking to the dudes. I'm talking to both. Reason why I'm mentioning these is because these are the ones we like to justify. These are the ones we like to, you know, we don't talk about porn all the time, so don't act like church always talking about porn. No, we don't. We don't, so stop it. That's just the devil trying to get you not to deal with the addiction you got. Because, and I'll get to this in a second, but it's very, very important for these things to be engaged. And what we'll do is we will justify us remaining in something if we feel like God hasn't given us what we wanted. And we believe that we don't need forgiveness, but God needs to apologize to us for not giving us what we wanted. And so guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go get me some, God, because you know what? You won't give me a spouse, and you know I'm backed up. And some of y'all with your sexless marriages, your spouse ain't giving you none, and you like,
You know what, God? I'm not going to go get somebody else, but I'm going to have a gateway to, you know, hey, a brother had needs, a sister had needs. And what we do is we don't use any of God's tools for restriction because we think our greeds turn into biblical needs. Okay, I'm by myself. And so, but what all of us, we have to be careful of you can't repent unless you stop justifying your sin. You can't. You cannot do it. I'm telling you, you will never be free. But let's go to the next point because this is gonna help you out. This is gonna help you. God gonna give you some help right here. It says, God, listen, my next point. God relays to you the pruning process. Now listen to this. This is how much God loves us. This is how much he loves us. Look at the text. It says in verse 14, in the morning, he said, Joshua, present yourselves, present yourselves tribe by tribe. The tribe the Lord selects, come forward, then go clan by clan. When you go clan by clan, comes forward, select family by family. And then from there, the family the Lord selects is to come forward, then go man by man. Know what I like about this? This is what's interesting. God gives Achan a chance to repent. He gave him multiple times. When they lost the battle was time number one. Listen, and what's wild about us is we'll stand there. God, you're going to have to put maybe somebody else in here. I don't know if it's me. I don't think he's going to get me. Like, God omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, and you don't think he's going to know? We do stuff like God is not just way up there on a throne looking way down at us. He's right here. And what he does, he says, I'm going to give you chances to repent. So he said, I'm going to start with family by family. Then we're going to go, I'm going to start with tribe by tribe. Oh, he won't repent here. And he's watching the whole thing unfold. Knowing it's coming. And as it gets closer, he still won't repent. Let me tell you, I like the way David said it. David said, I'd rather fall into the hands of God than to fall into the hands of my enemies. Because I know my God is full of mercy, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and full of mercy. And so God has given us all a chance of repentance. There are two types of pruning that God will do in your life. The first type of pruning is passive pruning. Somebody say passive pruning. That's John chapter 15, verse 1 through 5. Where every branch of him that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more. That's when God just does stuff in your life, just cuts stuff away without your help. In this passage, it's active pruning. Somebody say active pruning. This is active pruning, and active pruning is this. When God actively prunes, the way you get rid of sin is simple, but it's hard. It's simple, but it's hard. First thing is confession. The second one is repentance. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:14, he who or she who confesses and forsakes a matter will find favor. Now, what's interesting, family, is this. You can confess something and not be repentant. Okay, I seen a guy in court. He said, yeah, I killed him. I was like, wow. He in front of the judge saying, I killed him. And then said, you know, I do it again. So he knew he was sinned. He knew he was wrong. But he wasn't repentant of it. Many of us have the gift of confession, but we are starved of the application of repentance. See, confession, family, confession admits that you're wrong. Repentance is the willingness to change your mind about it, though. The hardest part, though, listen, the hardest part is to change your mind that sin that you like isn't to be liked. Okay, I'll give you an example since y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Listen, I used to have a rash porn addiction. I didn't know why I couldn't kick it. You know, I said, you know, I flee immorality, and I couldn't flee. I was wondering why. I couldn't flee. I just was using that verse. But flee immorality is the application of having a changed mind. I can only flee if I believed it was fleeable and that I shouldn't have it. But something in my mind didn't believe it was wrong, even though I biblically knew it was wrong. So before I could begin to develop tools to fight against porn, I had to have several things in my matrix. I had to understand that we are the image of God. Had to understand that God created sex and he had purpose for it. Procreation, recreation, all the different things that protection and all of the different things. I had to begin to understand what it was for. I had to understand it was the context of marriage. I also had to understand that God gave the passions for sex. He didn't give the application for my fornication. So I had to now redirect my passions towards liking it from God's perspective, because God likes sex because he created it. He said it's good. However, my application of it wasn't good. So what I had to do was to beat into myself. Don't go through those levels. So what I had to do was I had to look at, I can't look at bikini stuff because bikinis lead to this. Topless, and topless, I'm just being real. And then topless leads to full nudity, and full nudity leads to poses, and poses leads to actions that are shown. Then leads to videos, and then videos means I got to go out and do it because I'm done. I can't even get, because sin is like this. The further in it you go, the less it's helpful. So you always gotta upgrade it, because sin is a trash compactor. And it always demands more evil out of you to give you pleasure. That's the way sin is. And when you're saved, you feel empty. We're not doing things God's way. It's the most terrible. It's not just the Holy Spirit got your liver in a kung fu grip. See, that's how you know you're saved. You went, ain't nobody hit you, but you in pain. And then my identity, I didn't feel my identity. And Yahweh felt so far away in the distance. And I needed him near. And I was like, God, come near me. I need you near me. He said, you got to let her go. But what David says, and when we talk about confession and repentance, David says in Psalm 51:3, he said, for I am conscious of my rebellion. He said, my sin is always before me. Against you and you alone, I have sinned and done what was evil in your sight. Listen to the contriteness of it. In other words, when he says, I'm conscious of my rebellion, the King James translation says, I know my sin, and my sin is ever before me. In other words, I'm intimately knowledgeable about the sinfulness of sin. You can't change it until you know sin is sinful. You can't, because if sin is still a pleasure, it's hard to repent. But until you know that it's damaging, it can become less of an addiction when you understand that it's actually damaging you. Yes. I'll never forget an addict, a beautiful addict. They were beautiful, and they went into crack, and they were just going after crack, every single day, crack. And then one day, somebody held a mirror up to their face, and they had themselves so buried in the crack, they didn't know that their teeth were rotten, because they loved crack so much, they didn't brush their teeth no more. They didn't realize that they had lost so much weight because they barely eat, because they spend most of their time after crack. Crack had done a number on them, because in trying to fulfill the pleasure that crack had given them, they had neglected what kept them healthy. God wants us to come away from our addictions and push towards him. God wants us to remove these destructive things from our lives. So how do we remove it? I'm glad you asked. Joshua and them did what they were supposed to do. They excavated the sin from among them. It reminds me of how I finally got rid of the ivy. So I'm looking on the thing, how to get rid of this ivy. I mean, it was a problem. And so I looked online. I looked on everything. You know, YouTube, the knower of all things, you know. I found out you can learn how to change a transmission on YouTube. I mean, just got everything. So I looked at the English ivy videos and looked at and what I had to do. And it had become extensive in my yard. And when I pulled up one sheath of ivy, I noticed all of these lines of just vines. And the ground under the ivy was cracked and parched. And everything around it was dying. My wife's garden, just the ivy being in the environment, was destroying my wife's garden. She was trying to do tomatoes and cucumbers and basil, and it wasn't even touching the space, but just being in the environment of the life being sucked out of the environment, everything was dying. And so what I had to do is say, get you some cutters and begin cutting away at the vines. Begin cutting away at the roots, and I started pulling everything out. And when I got to the stucco on my garage, it says you have to individually go to each suction. It had to be 50,000 of them. And I had to literally go over there and hand pull them off softly so they wouldn't destroy what's supposed to naturally remain. And I had to pull that off, and I pulled that off. And I pull it off, and then I'd yank it. Then I'm going to yank it all down, and then I was like, I thought I was finished. I was like, all right, all that's gone. They said, no. Now you have to cover the area with weed killer so that if it tries to come back, when it touches that space, it can't stay there no more. In other words, because if it tries to dig its roots in again, it's going to die. And that's what you got to do to sin. You got to go in and meticulously pull it out. And as you meticulously pull it out, you got to put down the pesticide of God's word. And what you got to begin to do is lay it out so that if sin tries to sink its grips into you again, you let it know by God's presence that you're not welcomed here anymore. Let me tell you something. One of the things I love about God, is that God, when you're obedient, will release you into your destiny. That's how he is. Look at verse 1 of chapter 8. It said, the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid or discouraged. Take all the troops with you and go attack Ai. Look, I have handed over to you the king of Ai, his people, his city, and land. Treat Ai and its king as you did Jericho and its king, except that you may plunder its spoils and livestock for yourselves. So God utilized the restriction as a test. But after they were obedient, he took the restrictions off. Now he's allowing them to plunder. And what he began to do beautifully was to allow Israel to now experience the freedom of what it looks like when you deal with your issues. So know what I love about God? God loves you enough to pause you. He loves you enough to restore you, and he loves you enough to not let what you did stop your purpose and journey for him. Oh, God, help me today. Listen, there's so many people in the Bible that failed, that their purpose did not end because they fail. Amen. That's good. That's the good thing about our God is our God is a restoring God. Amen. And because he's a restoring God, he will work on you to work things out because he said, I got a lot for you, but you can't carry that unauthorized cargo in where I'm taking you. Yes. Look at old crazy Samson. Crazy, nitwittified dude. But at the end of his life, when he repented, God was able to use him to destroy his enemies. You look at David. David bore false witness, put a man more righteous than him at the front of the battle to commit murder. He murdered him. But when he got with Bathsheba, you got to understand, that was a power move. You understand? If the king told you to come in and he wanted you, You had to come, or somebody was dying. So he abused his power and position. And with all of that, when he repented, God gave him a house, a throne, and a kingdom. Peter, this is how you know you're forgiven. They say, you know Jesus? Nah, man. I ain't even heard of that dude. Bar Jesus, he over there. I know him. That dude they about to crucify. I don't know nothing about him. Number two said, man, look how you talking though. You got an accent like you from around the way. He's like, nah, shorty. Not me. Somebody else came up to him by the fire. Say, you were with Jesus. He said, beep. He not only denied Jesus, he cussed. You know, if the Bible just say he railed many curses. The Bible be so nice. My favorite is Paul says, things not worthy to be spoken. I like the way the Bible's so, this vernacular, you know? But what's crazy is Peter thought it was over for him. He went back to what he did. He went back fishing. And Jesus comes up and invites him to a cookout. Now, if you don't understand, a cookout in today's culture is the same in their culture. Black people don't love you till you get invited to the cookout. You get invited to the cookout, that's a pass. Jesus invites Peter to a cookout where he's grilling fish. The Savior, resurrected Savior in glorified body, who could have just spoken into existence, cooked fish, decided to tear down wood, put wood together, pull a fish out of water, scale it, and put it on a stick and rotisserie it, then call you to come eat with him. And then he sits there with him and he talks with him and he rebuilds him. And as he rebuilds him, he says, shepherd my sheep. He says, I know you denied me, which is greater than any sin you could commit, because that's unbelief. But even in the midst of that, Jesus sat beside him, called him back in. That's what he's saying to you today. Some of you think you're unforgivable. Some of you are walking in deep, 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 deep bondage. Jesus is coming. The altar is the cookout for you today. And he's inviting you to come back to him today, that your life can be restored. I know it's bad. I know you feel bad that you did and you think it's over. God says it's not over. I say it's over. He says, I love you with an everlasting love. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, I want to introduce you to him. You will not find a more truthful, a more compassionate, a more committed, a more ride or die person in the universe than Yeshua. He loves you deeply, and he loved you to the point where he died on the cross for your sin. If you're here today, don't know Jesus, he died on the cross for your sin, and he got up from the grave just for you. If you put your faith in him, guess what he'll do? He'll say, sin's forgiven. Relationship begins. Life is changed.
Hello, this is Dr. Eric Mason, founder and pastor of Epiphany Fellowship. Thank you for tuning in today. Hopefully the word of God was a blessing to you. Also, if you want to help us build the kingdom from Philly and beyond, particularly in inner cities, partner with us today. And if you don't know Jesus as Savior, based on his death, burial, and resurrection, place your confidence in him and go from spiritual death to spiritual life. Tune in next time so we can see.